Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a Seoul Pride-style jungle air horn hit in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it the advanced way, layered, shaped, and arranged so it actually behaves like part of the groove. This is not just about making one horn louder. That's the easy mistake. A proper jungle horn has attitude, body, and bite. It has to cut through fast drums, heavy bass, and busy fills without sounding thin, harsh, or cheesy. In other words, it needs to feel like a moment. Think of the horn as percussion with personality. It should hit hard in the first 50 to 120 milliseconds, then get out of the way fast enough for the drums to keep breathing. That front edge matters a lot in jungle and drum and bass. Let's build it. First, choose your source material. You want at least two contrasting sounds. One should be bright and sharp, and the other should be thicker and more mid-heavy. That might be the classic air horn sample, a brass stab, a synth brass patch, a vocal shout, or even a rave stab resampled into something horn-like. If you're working in Ableton, drop the samples into Simpler or Sampler so you can tune and shape them quickly. For Simpler, one-shot mode is usually the move. Keep the start tight, trim right to the transient, and only use warp if you really need tempo stretching. Most of the time, for a one-shot like this, you want it clean and direct. Now build your layer stack. An audio effect rack or instrument rack is ideal, because it keeps everything organized and lets you balance fast. Your first layer is the blast. This is your main horn, the one with the strongest identity. Keep this layer bright and clear, and tune it to the track key if possible. If it feels too long, shorten it. A jungle horn should feel decisive, not like it's waving goodbye. Your second layer is the body. This is the lower brass layer that gives the hit weight. A trombone stab, a detuned brass sound, or a horn pitched down a few semitones can work really well here. High pass it around 80 to 120 Hz so it doesn't fight the sub, then shape the mids. A small boost around 180 to 350 Hz can add chest, but if it sounds boxy, cut a bit around 500 to 800 Hz. Your third layer is the edge. This is the layer that helps the horn read on small speakers and over dense drums. It can beat a burst of noise, a distorted copy of the main horn, or a short vocal style hit. High pass it more aggressively, somewhere around 300 to 600 Hz, then add a little saturation or pedal style grit so it has attitude. Now the important part, make the layers work as one sound. Check the pitch relationship first. The main horn often works best on the root or the fifth of the track key. The body layer is often great an octave down. The edge layer can stay at pitch or even shift a little higher for extra aggression. Then align the transients. Zoom in and make sure the starts are tight. The bright layer should lead. The body layer can sit just a hair behind if you want more slap, and the noise layer should be instant. If one layer feels late, trim it or nudge it with tiny timing adjustments. This is where the hit goes from sample stack to intentional weapon. Now process the horn bus. Start with EQ8. Use it to carve space, not to overpolish. If the horn is muddy, high pass it around 60 to 100 Hz. If the low mids are clouding the mix, dip around 250 to 400 Hz. Add a little presence around 2 to 5 kHz if it needs to speak more clearly, and if it needs air, a gentle shelf above 8 to 10 kHz can help. Just don't overdo the brightness. A horn should feel rude, not fizzy. Next, add saturator. This is a great place to give the hit more density and grime. A drive of around 2 to 6 dB is often enough. Turn on soft clip if needed, and keep an eye on the output. Saturation is best when it thickens the sound without turning it into harsh noise. Then try drum bus. This device is excellent for DNB style punch. A little drive, a little crunch, and maybe a touch of transient emphasis can make the horn feel more explosive. Usually, you want the boom section off or very restrained for horn layers, because the drums and bass should own the low punch. After that, use utility to control width. Keep the core of the horn more centered, especially if you want it to hit hard in the middle of the mix. You can widen the edge layer a bit if you want, but be careful. Huge stereo width sounds exciting in solo, then falls apart in a crowded arrangement. Mono compatibility matters here. If the layers are jumping around too much, add a light glue compressor. Keep it gentle. A 2-to-1 ratio, moderate attack, and auto or fast release is plenty. You're not trying to squash the life out of it. Just glue the layers together. Now let's talk groove. This is where the horn becomes musical. The horn should interact with the drums. Try placing it on the offbeat or on the end after a snare. That gives it a call and response energy instead of a boring downbeat blast. You can also use it at the end of 4-bar or 8-bar phrases, which is classic for fills, drop returns, and DJ-style switch-ups. Another really effective approach is to treat it like a conversation. For example, one bar has a drum fill, The next bar has the horn, then the bass replies, then the horn comes back with a variation. That push-pull is very much part of the jungle language. And don't just repeat the same version over and over. Make at least three versions, a full hit, a short hit, and a filtered hit. Use the full one for the drop, the short one for rhythmic accents, and the filtered one for transition or tension. Now add movement with automation. Auto filter is perfect for this. You can low pass the horn a little before a drop, then open it on the impact. A tiny resonance bump can help build tension, but keep it subtle. Too much resonance, and the horn starts sounding like a synth sweep instead of a rude punctuation mark. For reverb throws, use a return track with hybrid reverb or a small room or plate. Keep the decay short and the pre-delay around 10 to 25 milliseconds, then automate a brief send only on the last horn of a phrase. That gives you a little tail without washing out the groove. Echo works well too, especially for a rewind style moment. Use a short delay time, low feedback, and filter the repeats so they don't clutter the mix. Just a tiny send can create a huge amount of energy if you place it at the right moment. Now think about arrangement. In the intro, tease the horn every 8 bars with filtering. In the first drop, hit with the full version right on the phrase start, maybe bar 1 or bar 9 depending on your structure. In the mid drop, use shorter horn answers every 4 bars. In the breakdown, let it breathe with more reverb and less top end. In the second drop, bring back the layered version with a little more distortion and tighter timing. Silence is powerful. If you hit the horn too often, it stops sounding important. Bass makes the next hit feel bigger. Once the sound feels right, resample it to audio. This is a very good advanced workflow in jungle production. Create a new audio track, set the input to resampling, and record the horn hits. Then work on the audio directly. That gives you faster editing, better fades, and more control over reversing or chopping. After resampling, trim the start tightly, add a short fade out if needed, and create some reversed versions for risers or pre-drop punctuation. You can also make micro chops for fills. This is one of the reasons jungle feels so alive. It often sounds like a performance, not just a loop. Now make sure it sits with the drums and bass. The snare usually lives around 2 to 5 kHz, so if the horn is stepping on that area, cut a little there. If the bass is getting masked, reduce some low mids from the horn. If the horn is too harsh, try a gentle dip around 2.5 to 6 kHz. And if it disappears, don't automatically boost more treble. Try saturating first. Saturation often makes a sound read better than EQ alone. You usually do not need heavy side chain on the horn, but a tiny bit of ducking can help if the drop is crowded. Keep it subtle. The goal is not a pumping effect. The goal is space. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Don't make the horn too long. Don't over-widen the main layer. Don't overdo distortion. Don't ignore pitch. And don't place it randomly without rhythmic intent. The horn should feel like part of the groove, not an accident dropped on top of it. If you want a darker or heavier result, pitch the body layer down a bit and saturate before EQ. You can also add a very subtle tonal layer with operator or wavitable for extra identity. Keep that tucked low in the mix. It can make the horn feel signature without drawing attention to itself as a separate sound. Here is a good practice exercise. Build a three-version horn phrase across 8 bars. First, make a full dry hit. Second, make a filtered version with low-pass automation. Third, make a short echo throw or a reverse pre-hit. Place them across the phrase, leave space for drum fills and bass answers, and listen to how the groove changes with the horn muted. If the track still works without it, you've probably done the horn right. It should support the tune, not carry it. And if you want a more advanced challenge, build a 4-part horn toolkit in one rock, a dry punch, a wide hype version, a dark pressure version, and a transition version. Keep them all usable at 174 BPM. Check mono on each one, and make sure none of them steals the snare's energy. So to recap, layer your horn for blast, body, and edge. Tune and align the layers tightly. Process with EQ8, saturator, drum bus, utility, and a light compressor if needed. Arrange it like a rhythmic punctuation mark. Automate filters, reverbs, and delays for variation. Then resample and edit the result into something that feels sharp, rude, and mix-ready. That's the real jungle approach. The horn is not just a sound. It's a statement. Make it hit like one.